all Americans to get health insurance and makes employers cover their employees or pay a fine that's equal to 8% of their payroll. It is an 852-page draft so far, but they don't have any cost estimates. The chairman who unveiled it say everything in there is negotiable. So now you have three main plans. You have the House Dems, you have the Senate Finance, and then you have the Kennedy bill. All three of these are very far apart.
Fox's Caroline Shively in Washington. What is cuter than triplets? How about red panda triplets? The Red River Zoo in North Dakota welcoming those red panda triplets, a rare occurrence, into the world. Two females, one male. The zoo's executive director says red pandas are considered especially endangered, and it's been a decade since red panda triplets found in China have been born in the Western Hemisphere. Red pandas don't look like those black and white guys. The red ones look more like raccoons and have long, bushy tails. I'm Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You have it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, June 20th, 2009. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, which calls for areas of low clouds and fog in the morning. That should burn off a little bit by afternoon. That calls for partly cloudy conditions. Highs will reach the upper 50s to the mid 60s, along with west winds increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour later this afternoon. Tonight's forecast calls for clear conditions early in the evening. Areas of low clouds and fog moving in later towards midnight. Lows will be in the mid-50s along with northwest evening winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. And your Father's Day forecast calls for mostly sunny conditions with highs in the upper 60s to lower 70s. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, west winds 15 to 25 knots, wind waves 3 to 5 feet, and a northwest swell 4 to 7 feet at 9 seconds, along with a small craft advisory, which is going to remain in effect throughout late this evening. Outside KSCO Studios, it is currently 58 degrees. Coming up next, we've got the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right after this.
It's just in, Frau Ogle is returning to KSCO. One of the most memorable and engaging KSCO personalities from the 90s decade is coming your way, to the delight of all who remember her. But if you never heard of Frau Ogle, you are in for a treat. You see, Frau Ogle is German and speaks English with a German accent. Frau Ogle is very bright and articulate. Frau Ogle grew up in Germany during the Holocaust and has lived in the USA since the mid-50s when she married Kay's brother, my Uncle Al. Besides her extraordinary wit and sense of humor, Frau Ogle has wisdom and life experiences to share with us that may make you feel that history will soon repeat itself. Meet and talk to Frau Ogle herself on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Always Proud to Bring You Bubbly Intellectual Fountain of Information Personalities Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Yep, nobody would know. Nobody would know. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Do you think I sound like I'm... What did you say?
Hello, hello, nephew.
Hello, hello. Remember we used to have that promo where you said, hello, hello.
Yes, actually we say hello. In Germany we say hello. H-A-L-L-O-H. Hello.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we have to be different, yes. However, I really like the panda story. It was unbearable cute and specious.
Now, that's a terrible thing to say.
Of course, I have a PhD in punishment. Puns, a lot of puns. Puny puns, or PP for short.
Welcome back to KSCO, Frau Ogle. It's been a few years.
Yes.
Yeah, remember the good old days?
Hiding from you.
You and Mr. Logic used to do a program during the weekday here?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, he was a brain, and I'm the brawn. You know, I'm a 78-year-old tomboy, all muscles and very little brain manners, but he made up for it.
Well, yeah.
He was very good.
Hopefully, we'll hear from Mr. Logic today, because during the week, we ran a little technical test. He lives up in Paradise, California.
Yes, what
now.
A lovely name, Paradise.
Yeah,
That's what I remember.
He is... Billy and he were running a test with the electronical computer to see if Mr. Logic could actually get connected.
And they did, and he did. And so, you know, so sometime during the program today, hopefully we'll hear from none other than Mr. Logic himself. But so what, for the benefit of the people in our audience who are not, who don't know you, there are a lot of people.
Lucky people
don't know me.
I can be like all Teutonic terrorists. I can be a real... Can one say bitch on TV?
Yeah, on radio, yes. Okay. You can say that.
I meant, of course, witch.
But there are other things that you must not say.
Uh-oh.
Now, Dave, what are the words that that shouldn't be said?
Those words aren't... No, I better not say
that. Oh, okay, all right.
Uh-huh. Familiar with my new love, the late talk show host, Craig Ferguson? He comes on at 12:38.
He's late?
12:30.
He passed away? Oh,
no,
you mean late?
No, late show. Oh, witty. See, I know Michael, my nephew, since he was three, and bit his big brother under the table to get attention. So, you know, you shouldn't be surprised that he's trying to torture me. He is not nice to the elderly. Shame. Elder abuse.
Well,
anyway, let's get started on some controversial matters, not manners.
You wanted to know what the subject would be.
Yes.
And I was supposed to call you yesterday.
Yes, I know.
And by the time I thought about it, it was like 11:30. I thought it might be too late.
So
I could have called you at 11:30.
Sure.
P.M.
At 12, I turn into a successful cat burglar. Only I don't like cats, so I like dogs. I would be a dog burglar.
Okay, so I thought that it would be very interesting to share your background, where you were born, what it was like growing up. It was the Socialist Democrat Party that your father was part of.
Oh, yes, since 1918, actually. He was a card-carrying Social Democrat, like I'm a card-carrying Libertarian. I'm disgusted with both major parties. Just got that inner zinger.
Well, no, you're right. I think everybody is. I think everybody is. More and more people share your sentiments, including me.
I mean, the once great America, everybody hates us. Half the people envy us and want to live in California. But, of course, with food stamps and freebies. And the others are just rising in anger and throwing pot shots at us. Even our so-called allies in Europe, they try everything to besmirch us and all. And it annoys me because I'm very, very happy and proud, or used to be an American. Uh-huh. I'm very loyal, and I do an awful lot for this country. Last 9 years, I've served pro bono as a commissioner.
What kind of commissioner?
First, Parks and Recreation, in charge of all the various parks. And then the next 7 years as an arts commissioner, putting on all the different exhibits of young, starving craftsmen and artisans and sculptors, and twice a year organizing a huge art and wine festival, stuff like that.
Oh, my.
Yes. Well, I worked harder than I ever did in my career.
Yeah.
Which is probably true of many, many elderly volunteers.
Uh-huh.
But it keeps us out of trouble.
Well, so what was it like growing up in Deutschland?
Well, it was a roller coaster. My father was worked very, very hard. He was born on a farm. On my youngest son's birthday, or vice versa, they're both Tauruses, May 3rd, 1894. On a miserable farm without water. Water they had, without electricity, I want to say. I was all wet there. And he was supposed to become a Catholic priest. And he, of course, just like me, was very argumentative and argued all through his Jesuit high school. And then later on the seminary. And so they came to a parting of the way because he said, I'm asking too many questions. And now I'm going to say something very controversial again, I'm sure, but it was my father's words, not mine. He said, actually, the Bible is a real dirty book. It's full of pedophiles and fratricide, and I could not believe in it. I want to be a good person, a helpful person, a person who helps the underdog. And I would be a third-rate hypocritical priest, but I want to be a first-class lawyer helping business people with their taxes. And so he became a tax lawyer. And after he got his first doctorate, after his parents disappointed that their pride and joy wouldn't be maybe a cardinal later on, he got... Just like your brother. Your brother has 2 degrees too, doesn't he, Louis? He after his first doctorate in jurisprudence and law, he got one in political science. And therefore he was never taken in by either the communists or by the Bavarian Freedom Party, and least of all by the Nazis. And so you ask my childhood. I was born February 3rd, 1931, 78 and a half in 1.5 years. I'll be 80 if I make it. Anyway, the first 8 years, I was one of the hated by others, wealthy privileged.
Oh.
Yes. And my father did something what not even Obama, especially not Obama, could do. He worked like a dervish for 9 months each year in his law practice, and then he took off for 3 months traveling through Europe. He took our housekeeper along so that my parents could just go to the Salzburg festivals or go over the then only access to Italy, the Brenner Pass, which already Hannibal had used, and go maybe to the various art exhibits in Firenze or Florence. And so my parents really knew how to live. And so that was the first 8 years, and then came 1939, and we idiotically and unfairly rushed into Poland, and everything came apart at the seams. By 43, we were bombed out, November 22nd to 23rd, and we lost my art-filled, not mine, my parents' art-filled house, and on the same level, his law practice all in one night. And we were cowardly hiding out at our summer home and therefore couldn't even save anything. And our loyal housekeeper for 23 years, whom I consider my real mommy, and named my eldest after my eldest, Rebecca, who has now a little ranch in New Zealand, and of course Mike grew up with her. She is named after the two nicest women I ever met. Your grandma,
Rebecca
Russo,
Kay's
mother, and my parents' housekeeper, because she was much more of a mama than my society la-di-da mother.
So I never asked you this before, but I assume you were an only child.
Oh, no. We were three girls spread over 20 years because my self-centered mother liked only babies. And so when my eldest sister was 8, they had me. And when I was 12, I had my sister Monica, who is married to the second one in a row, very well-to-do lawyer, and has places in both Munich and Berlin. So the Germans are just as uppity and obnoxious as they ever were.
So, wow, because I've never, in all these years, I've never, we've never talked about your relatives.
Now we bore your listeners. I'm a soporific, but it's free. Oh. You don't have to buy it at the store. See, you can go to sleep right now.
No, I don't think we're boring the listeners. I could be wrong, but I doubt it very much. I think we'll find out when we open the phone lines. We're talking with Frau Ogle, who is my aunt, Quite the personality and quite the background. Grew up in Germany and came to this country after you met my Uncle Al.
Yes, 11th of June 1954, I set foot on the sweltering hot New York.
Oh.
Yes.
So that was like 56 years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
55 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, 55 years ago.
Shame. I give you an F in math.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, you have, you adopted the Jewish faith when you married your uncle.
Well, no, I didn't adopt. I converted.
Converted, right.
It was tougher than the Mensa test I did in 64. And tougher than becoming a naturalized citizen. Because Rabbi Gittin didn't want a typical like Liz Taylor. He, you know, there were too many Germans and Italian and French girls who wanted to latch on to some American, and then they come over here and they really wanted to break into show business. At that time, Hollywood ruled the world.
Yeah.
And so there were all kinds of new laws done in which we were first victimized. You had to be half a year minimum engaged or asking for the visa to come here because too many girls latched on to a homesick 18-year-old Idaho farm boy.
Yeah.
And flashed their boobies or whatever and said, "Oh, you're the love of my life. I want to come to America." And so the...
Is that what you did with Uncle Al?
Not really. I'd be merely bonded for being both totally overambitious and anti-marriage.
Oh.
I made my usual speech and said, "Please don't embarrass me and ask me to marry. This is always what happened." And I sing, "I am my dad's pride and joy. I'm daddy's son. And he wants me, now that I have a master's degree, he wants me to get a doctorate or a PhD, so don't even mention it." And your uncle said, "Oh, how wonderful. I live in little dinky," he said, "Santa Cruz."
It was pretty dinky.
There are only two bachelors, and Arnold Levine, who owned later on several motels,
yeah,
and he. And so I cannot date anyone. A second date, they are dragging me in front of Crown's jeweler and saying, "Oh, isn't that a wonderful engagement ring?" So I'm not going to marry till I'm at least 30. And I said, "How old are you now?" 27. I'm 23. And he said, "You have still 7 years to go." And we were off and running. And, of course, 4 weeks later, we applied for... Because we had never met anybody who was equally playing the field and not being at all interested into marriage till we were at least 30.
Right.
So it goes. See, sometimes minus times minus equals plus.
Right.
And so you had here really two big-headed egomaniacs, which were, you know, loving and leaving them, and not at all getting serious. And then we were dead serious about each other.
All
it was
sudden.
A real love match.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, that's
but
great.
I had never wanted to come to America.
So
I wanted to see India. Also, it's too hot for me. Egypt, all kinds of Israel, of course. But not America. I had no idea. And my father said, "You and I hate the heat. Do you know California is probably as hot as Morocco? Couldn't you have fallen in love with somebody who from Alaska?"
Oh.
Maybe Mrs. Palin could have fixed me up, only she's much younger.
Yeah, she wasn't around then. That was pre-Sarah Palin.
Okay, that's it.
So that's pretty much your background and how you set foot in
yes,
US,
and like I said, Rabbi Gittin was not enchanted to have another Liz Taylor, who just marries because she fell in love with some Jewish guy. And Al even said, "Why? Why would you do this? We are not racist. It doesn't matter." I said, "My parents' best friends, my role models, were all those philanthropic, wealthy Jewish professionals they called themselves long before the movie was made. Das dreckige Dutzend und eine, the dirty dozen and one.
Yeah, yeah.
They were 12 Jewish. Only one, Professor Kuperberg, was a famous painter. All the others were either doctors, physicians, or lawyers, like my dad. And they were all social democrats, and they all gave zillions in money to worthy causes. So what Hitler, the garbage heap, he said, was just the opposite what I felt at home. And I could have been schizoid. I went to school, and here the Jews are the scum of the earth. Then I went home
and had these
marvelous people who were great philanthropists, just like they are here in America. And so they were my role models. And so while I was going to college in Munich, I went to the end of the line where the American occupation buildings were. And I studied for 3 years Hebrew. I learned to write from right to left. And so it wasn't, I'm really enraged when people say, oh, you fell in love with a Jew because he was very lukewarm, you know, religiously, your uncle. He just couldn't understand why it was so important to me. And I said, this is my thank you for the guidance and the inspiration these people gave me through one of the worst
times. So he didn't pressure you to convert.
Oh, my God. No, he tried to talk me out of it.
I never knew that.
Wow. Yeah, you know, he never went to shul. I had wonderful ideas about Friday Seder, and I learned all that. And he said, surely you could. And I said, first, my father should have been a cardinal and dropped out of Mary the Danish Protestant and was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And now, once again, I'm persona non grata. Because, you know, both my father and my hubby, your uncle, they're just too brilliant to be very, you know, primitively devout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And please forgive me, all you nice devout people, I envy you, because it is wonderful if you can believe in the saints and all that. I don't. I believe only in good deeds.
What do you remember from the Holocaust in the days when you were growing up? You must have
Well, first of all, I didn't believe it because, you know, like I said, I was not only ambivalent, I turned almost schizoid. I went to the school and there was endless propaganda. The teachers were all trained to just spout very, very similar like the most fanatical Muslims. And I know quite a few very nice Muslims who believe in the Quran and are wonderful citizens, but the tiny minority who are saying, down with Israel, down with America, that was exactly the same kind of hatred and vitriolic what I was exposed to in any school I ever went to. And it didn't dim towards the end of the war. The opposite. A few days before we capitulated, people were still strung up, and they weren't even Jewish people who wanted, who said this war has to end. And they say unpatriotic person, you know, and they were strung up, which of course the Italians did with Mussolini and Clara Petacci, his mistress. They were strung up by upside down. So the Germans were very much into elevated cruelty. And so I went to school, and I heard all this garbage about Jews and gypsies and Mennonites. It wasn't just Jews. And social democrats and communists and Bavarian Freedom Fighters. They had 99 enemies. And then I came home and heard my father frothing about Hitler. And so I didn't know what to believe, and I really thought my adored father was exaggerating. I didn't believe that concentration camps existed. And one thing which your readers, or listeners, pardon me, readers, I'm always writing articles, so I'm into reading, listeners didn't know is that the occupation army, all through 45, would have what we call razzias or raids. A lot of American soldiers would make a cordon, like in a fox hunt, and caught in a net maybe up to 200 German people walking on the streets of Bamberg or Erlangen or Munich and force them into a movie theater and see the freeing, the liberation of Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Bergen-Belsen and so. And that's how, after the war, in the middle of peace, us dopey Germans really got a taste what it was like, and I knew that my father was right. I had just turned 14 when the war was over, and I'll never forget that horrible movie. And so too late people sobbed and carried on. They should have sobbed when we went into Poland and did atrocious things, but of course everybody was rah, rah, rah.
So a lot of the people didn't really realize what was going on.
Oh, no, 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 absolutely not. Don't forget that after we conquered, after we overran Poland, it was a perfect place out in the boonies. Almost all the early and the most severe concentration camps were in Poland, East Prussia, and part even of the overrun Russia, till we had to withdraw. And much later in the war, after we lost the Battle of Stalingrad, one of the most horrible things fell on my birthday on February 3rd. Anyway, and the generals, of course, said, you never, a German doesn't capitulate. You don't give up. I don't want to see a single white flag. And therefore, about 280,000 German soldiers died like rats and ate rats because they had done exactly what the Russians had done 150 years earlier with Napoleon and Moscow, burned it to the ground. There wasn't anything to eat, no shelter, wow. And all these noble German warriors were not allowed to withdraw. So General Pauling and all his soldiers just succumbed or were shipped off to horrible, horrible prisons in Siberia. We always make fun and saying Siberia, but it was really true. They had a lot of... And so the concentration camps, my point is, were safely put away from Munich or Berlin or Hamburg. And people only heard this EKW, meaning Hauptquartier of Wehrmacht, or the headquarters of the armed forces, German kind. We were always winning, Rommel was winning, and this guy was winning, and we were overrunning the lousy French, and we had conquered and overrun Belgium. And so everybody was in a frenzy of jubilation, very much like when we got Saddam Hussein. You know, it's very heady stuff for the average guy who works very hard to make a living for his family. And then there are these heroic deeds, and we are the greatest. We just... conquered Iraq, you know. Oh, they all love us. And we had actually the illusion that a lot of people in Poland loved us. The only thing what the Poles I blame for is that they were just as anti-Semitic and did terrible things to the shtetls and the ghetto of Warsaw, for instance. They didn't help. I mean, there were always isolated people who did what they did for Anne Frank, who gave a haven. In every country, France, Belgium, very much Denmark, even Germany, there were people who risked their life to help Jewish, especially children. But they were just too few.
Yeah.
Look what's happening right now, how they are suppressing any kind of rebellion in Iran. The last 3 days, you know, we don't know whom to believe.
Yeah.
And so people get drunk on war and victory and noise and you know, setting cars on fire and all. It's the beastly part in our Homo sapiens nature.
What I suggested in the promo is that we might discuss parallels.
Yes.
Between what you remember as a youngster,
mm-hmm.
about what happened in Germany and, you know, in Europe, and what's happening in this country. Maybe that's not a really fair comparison, because you were just a child back
yes.
then. Yeah.
Yes, I was 8 when the war started, and we became, 3 days before my 14th birthday, we became refugees from our summer home because my father listened to the death sentence was offered for or decreed for anyone who listened to Radio London, to the RIAS. And so he knew that the big boom were not our guns, but that the Russians had finally crossed after fierce bloody battles on both sides. They had gone over the River Oder, and it was about 18 kilometers from our summer home, which was now a very primitive winter retreat after we lost everything in Berlin. And so my father woke us up. It was 12 o'clock, the 31st of January, I'll never forget, 1945, and said, no time to argue, no time to pack. Just grab the most important items, because 10 to 2 is the last train going to Berlin. And my mother said, oh, you know, we are going to get arrested. Nobody is allowed to go farther than 30 kilometers. See, the German high command now picked on everyone. I don't care whether you were Aryan or not. They didn't want a mass exodus. They didn't want a mass panic what happened from East Prussia. All our and the roads were clogged up like your traffic today.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yes, with people fleeing East and West Prussia. And therefore there was a new edict, probably in September of 44, that we all had to have ID cards where our domicile was, and you were not supposed to go farther than 30 kilometers, or you were considered an anti-German turncoat, an illegal refugee.
And so your father decided he didn't care about that.
And my father said, listen, I have survived 12 years of the Nazi era. I will not survive 1 hour with the Soviets, because they hate the Social Democrats more than the Nazis. I am going to be strung up without even a kangaroo cord on one of our gorgeous birches. And so my mother wept a lot, and our wonderful housekeeper packed everything. My mother grabbed my 2-year-old sister Monica, and all I could think of, what different values children have. I can't believe it. 3 days before my birthday, I have only 2 friends who are not Nazis who I invited over. And what will they think? We cowardly leaving. No, puppy, no, you can't do that to me. And so for the next 3 days, for a 5-hour train ride, it took us 3 days in the bombed out places to reach Franconia. And this is how everybody lived in 45. The proud, victorious German were all somewhere stranded in the snow on the highways or in badly damaged trains, and then you would come to a big bomb crater, and everybody had to get out and walk through the snow to the next town and hope that another train would come. And that's why it took us 3 days and 2 nights, slept on newspaper in the bombed out one in Küstrin and one in Bamberg, which is already near Franconia. And then we reached, on my birthday, February 3rd, 1945, we reached one of my five uncles. My father was one of six boys and one girl. And so that was how Germany was, and now they are again, you know. And I call them the odd couple. To me, the most amazing part of Europe is that France and Germany now are an uneasy buddy buddies. And I wonder how long that honeymoon will last.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, so have you haven't been really, I guess you have been politically active whilst in this country, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And
oh, yes.
And you've been, as you say, pretty much a libertarian.
For the last 11 years, yes. What? I came here, of course, as a socialist daughter. Don't forget that the Americans elevated my father. Like I said, they had a dossier, and they knew how he had been helping Jews and Mennonites and so forth, how he had been a very, very active social democrat all through the 20s. And so they tracked him down at the ancestral farm and offered him the IRS directorship for five counties. And suddenly, we who had been very rich, then so-so, then dirt poor, then refugees, wow. We were suddenly given a villa and of the guy who was the IRS director, who was, of course, like almost every German, a Nazi, and the Americans said, "You are so wonderful, Dr. Huber. Good luck." And we were suddenly on the upswing again. I tell you, 45 was weirder than any science fiction. No school the entire year because they fired all the teachers, all the deans. There was no university, no high school, no grammar school. Best year of my life. No, but, you know, from a child's view, you have a totally different view. And then my father said, "I'm going to run for office again." And so in 46, I helped him with a glue pot, nothing like here. And he ran for a member of parliament in Bavaria. And he won. From 46 to 50 and 50 to 54, you probably can click it in now on the internet, which just knows everything, what toothpaste you use, you know, when you clip your toenails, you know. I mean, there is no more privacy, so I'm sure that my father's dossier is available if you look long enough. Anyway, that's Dr. Franz Josef Huber. Born 3rd of May, 1894, got two doctorates and served two four-year terms in the Bavarian Parliament. And so, of course, Daddy's son, Emil, he didn't like the name O'Reilly either. He said, "You look like an Emil. You're the son for me." And he trained me from early on, taking over his law practice. And then, of course, at age 14, the pressure was off. And later on, we campaigned together. And when I came to America, of course, to the shock of your uncle, who was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, I said, "Hell no, I'm a social democrat." And they said, "Well, we don't have that here. We have only Democrats." And within 1 year, I was disenchanted because I'm a very frugal Freddy. I don't like debts. I don't like interest. And the Democrats were always spend, spend, spend. And
sort of
so
like
I turned, yes, I and turned into a Republican too. And then I got disgusted with them and found the libertarians. And so I've always, and right now I'm involved in our mayor's, Bürgermeister, and Bob Livengood's campaign for a seat. Oh, God, now I show my age. No. He is a mayor already. No.
Assembly?
Exactly.
State Assembly.
Yes,
okay.
State Assembly. And so that's where my time
active.
And money. Oh, all the time. I helped elect the previous two mayors.
Let's talk a little bit about the here and now.
Yes.
Okay. We have a new president. Now, this is not television, and we do not have a webcam, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as I said that, it would have been great if we would have had a webcam because
I had moral indigestion.
Yeah, Mariah's tongue darted out of her mouth like,
ugh.
I take it from that gesture that you don't care for
like
our president.
Or like a chameleon. Well, I think he is probably a charming person. I would have even not minded Mr. Bush living next door. I think both of them had no business being in politics because they don't have the whole graft. 2 years as a senator does not prepare you for the... I feel sorry for him, actually. I feel the honeymoon is over this week, too. For the first time, there are a lot of... You know who my idol is? Who I never miss and probably have to do today? Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose is on from 12 to 1 and has all the most brilliant minds there. And they really let loose. They have no shame and no fear. They are not beholden to anyone. And one day he might have famous movie directors, which doesn't interest me that much. And the next one, he has maybe 5 brilliant people who are all involved in economics, finances, banking. And there, of course, another one is on Saturday is John McLaughlin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, I have so my favorite inputs. I also subscribe to Time, Newsweek, and World and U.S. and World News, and, of course, Esquire. I think of myself as a hell of a guy in drag, you know. Of course, I love men only, not women. Please don't get it wrong. But I was daddy's boy. And so, of course, I have to, and I'm very angry at people who are just bitching. Get involved in politics. Run for something. Look at my father, a dopey farm, well, dopey he wasn't, an ambitious farm boy.
Yes.
And he got 2 doctorates, became a famous lawyer, had wonderful Jewish friends, fought in the underworld, I almost said underground. And so don't just whine about the enormous trillions we are spending. Like I said, he is a nice person, a misguided idealist, but let's not forget that Hitler was a very good artist. He wanted to be go to the Vienna Art.
Are you comparing our new president to Hitler?
No, I don't. I'm just saying that there were a lot of people who go by charm, have enormous charm, but not...
No substance.
Even substance. But my husband would say, every lousy boss or co-worker I ever had been to Harvard.
Yeah.
Harvard people think they're entitled to the best. They are like... Louis XIV's felt.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
God and I. And so, you know, all the Harvard graduates think immediately they know everything better. They know whom to war with, how to spend, and what to spend. And I just am so worried that we are going, that the worst hasn't yet hit. Because if you constantly spend and spend on paper money, and now I will bore my listeners with one more corollary or analogy. My parents got married in 1922, and my mother's enormous trousseau, now nobody talks about trousseaus or dowries anymore, but at that time, yes, went all for my sister Regina's layette, because in 1923, Germany printed nothing but money, which had, just like ours now, no gold backing. And you might have seen pictures of people with wheelbarrows having million-dollar things to buy a bread. And like I just mentioned to my hubby yesterday when I didn't know what we were talking about, it was so bad that all the factory workers were paid on Friday at 5. And their wives or grown children would stand there and like a relay race, grab their paycheck and race to a market where another family member stood in line to buy the groceries.
Oh.
Okay. Do we get people?
Yeah. Well, no. There's okay. Mr. Logic is on the line here.
Oh, okay.
You remember Mr. Logic?
Of
you used to do a program with him here.
A real charmer, and fortunately not with political ambitions.
Yeah.
I am distrusting charisma and charm.
Come closer to the microphone, Frau Ogle,
okay,
please.
I'm sorry.
And Bob, are you there?
No, I've left. I gave up hope.
It's
you
been a while.
You didn't mention that you were available.
I've always been available.
Ah, sounds promising.
So let's see. Did you try to connect on the Google Talk, Bob?
Yeah,
and
nobody
I just didn't
answered.
Oh, okay. See, there was no signal or anything, so I didn't even realize.
Yeah, didn't know. We just freelanced
here. Should I answer it now, or should I try to answer it now?
Yeah, I'm calling on Skype right now.
Oh, you are?
Googled. Yeah,
oh.
But I'm calling on Skype payphone type thing, not the freebie Skype.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
I don't want to cost you money, please.
Oh.
Too late. It already cost me 4 cents.
All right.
You should have stayed in paradise.
Yeah. Aren't you in paradise?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you're not calling on a regular phone? I mean, a regular phone?
No, I'm calling on my computer. I'm using Skype to call, but I'm calling the station call telephone number, so it's not a free call.
I got you. Right. Well, we can bring you up on Google Talk and have it sound like you're right here in the studio. I understand you did a test with Billy earlier this week, right?
And yeah, it seemed to work.
As long as I know that it's happening. Anyhow, I just want to reconnect you with Frau Ogle, with whom you used to do a 1 hour, was it 1 hour, 2 hours, once a week program back in the 90s. What was that program called?
Oh, I forgot.
Forgot, too. You know, I'm getting to be an valuable antique here. But I want to hear what you had to say. Come on now. I had to hear hold the fort and, you know, had diarrhea of the mouth. And so now I want to listen to you. Please, stop.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, now it's time for a break.
Oh, yeah, uh-oh. It is time for a break, yeah.
The commercials.
We should do the break, right? Since, yeah, Bob,
they'll never ask me back.
We can we do the break now?
Sure, yeah.
That'll be great. And then afterwards, we will open the phone lines to everybody, and we can to talk to Mr. Logic and Frau Ogle and moi.
No, I rest my case. I want to listen now to somebody brilliant.
But we want to talk about what you think about the future here with
Uh-oh.
Our president, okay? Good. So anyhow, you're listening to AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station, on the Saturday special with MZ and Frau Ogle and now Mr. Logic. We are going to open the phone lines after this commercial break. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. Or mz@ksco.com is the email address to click send to. And we will be back right after this commercial break.
Climb a mountain, fish a stream, hike a trail, live your dream, play a sport, ski a slope or lake. We get outdoors for adventure's sake. Outdoor World gives you for adventure. Outdoor World outbids you with pride. Outdoor World knows the fun you're in for. Outdoor World for the great outside.
Win one for Dad this Father's Day. Win a Coleman's Road Trip Grill from Outdoor World Sporting Goods. Log on to theoutdoorworld.com/contest or walk into any of their three locations in Capitola, Santa Cruz, or Monterey. Or call 888-344-9500 and enter to win one of four $300 Coleman's Road Trip Grills. One from each store and one from the website and telephone entries. Must be 18 to enter. Contest ends Thursday, June 18th. Prize winners will be announced on Friday, June 19th.
Outdoor World knows the fun you're in for. Outdoor World for the great outside.
Many of you know me as an artist and author of the book, Sand Between Your Toes. but many others know me as the realtor who sold over 700 homes in Santa Cruz County. Hi, I'm Sally Bookman, realtor with Keller Williams Realty, and I'm here to tell you about my well-proven home selling program, Hassle Free Selling. The Sally Bookman Hassle Free Selling program offers flexible fees and no upfront costs. And here's the best part. Though I've served hundreds of happy home sellers, if you're not happy, you can fire me. But I think you will be happy. Yes, I have sold over 700 homes in Santa Cruz County. I'm not trying to brag. I'm applying for a job. I want to be your realtor. Discover why I've been able to sell over 700 homes. Call for my free hassle-free selling information packet at 831-818-9959. Or visit hasslefreeselling.com. That's hasslefreeselling.com. I'm Sally Bookman with Keller Williams Realty. Call me if you're thinking about selling your home. 818-9959.
President Obama has said that state and local governments should have some say over gun control and that he believes in a common sense approach to gun control. However, if you translate the president's intentions, one thing is certain. It's going to cost a whole lot more to buy guns and ammo in the future. So before that future arrives, head to the giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. You'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. Go early to the giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. It's going to cost a lot more to own handguns, rifles, and shotguns in the future, and the future is coming fast. So head to the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and save big.
That's you. Go. Wait a minute. It said last spot Chow Bella.
Oh, it does. You know what?
That's what this thing, I was this waiting, thing and it says, and it's not C I O W. It's spelled C H O W Bella.
Oh, well, you know what? We can move it on to the next hour, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But I mean, was it supposed to play?
I believe that's a bonus spot. We'll bonus them next hour.
Bonus. Okay.
Right.
Well, that's
well, you know, we do that every
that's
now and then.
No, don't tell anybody that.
Just
it's
for
a
fun.
Secret. It's a secret. Okay. Yeah, we do that just to amuse ourselves. All right, you're listening to the Saturday special with Frau Ogle and MZ and Mr. Logic. And let's see. Let me bring Mr. Logic back on here. I wanted him to be able to hear the commercials. And by the time I did that, the commercials were ended. Hi, Mr. Logic.
How are you?
Yeah. So, anyhow, for those of you who don't remember Mr. Logic, let me explain who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We did a program called The Thinking Machine here on KSCO, your favorite radio station, and that ran in the 90s and into the new into the new millennium, didn't it? I guess so, a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Went from 92 to 2002.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it did run 10 years. And the big problem with the thinking machine is that it was preempted by football games and sports.
God.
Once in a while, right?
Yeah, like most once in a while.
Yeah, most of the time. That will never happen again.
Good.
Because we are not going to have you know that kind of regular sports. If we have sports on KSCO, it'll be local, you know, high school sports.
Mm-hmm,
it'll just
mm-hmm.
take up a tiny little bit of time.
Very good.
But yeah. So anyhow, Mr. Logic, you used to do a program about about science and technology
and mathematics
and puzzles and brain teasers and things, right? And
yeah, it was a couple of shows. I did The Thinking Machine, which was, as you say, about science, technology, computers, puzzles, etc. I also did a show with Rabbi Andy called Infinite Possibilities, where we discussed science versus religion.
Yeah.
Guys and priests and things, and discussed it from a slightly different approach. And then, of course, Frau Ogle and I did a show. I can't remember the name of the show now either. Do you remember what it was?
No. It was a good show, though.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it was a
mixed bag.
It was a very good show.
Well, it was different. Yeah. Let's see. It was semi-unique, if there's such a word,
right.
Instead of saying lousy.
Right. Well, listen, both of you folks
but
here.
But he gave a class. I mean, well, it's
oh,
true.
Yeah, right.
And you did mention that he also had a mass club. I was very, I'm always liking when people do something for the community. So why don't you tell a little bit about the interesting math club you had?
You're talking about the Thinkers Club?
Which was lots involved, science and math and so forth. And
You did this for the people to do that.
Great.
We gave certificates away, and they were signed by Michael. They were signed by me, and they were the kind of thing you could probably frame and put on a wall if you wanted to. And to get one of those, you had to solve a puzzle question, and if you did, you became a member of the Thinkers Club. And then by being a member of the club, you were eligible to win high-quality prizes, like a slice of pizza, for example.
That was always good. And them's were the good old days here. So anyhow, I used to call you our resident superior intellect, and that used to bristle you. It used to bug you whenever I did that. But I meant it, and I still do. And so and the two of you were great. So coming into next hour, right after Kay's commentary, I want to talk with both of you about the current state of the world, okay?
And
get both of your both of your perspectives on our world in this day and age, okay? So you're listening. Go ahead.
Should I call back on Google Talk?
Yeah, I think you should, because I don't like the Skype. You're cutting in and out, and hopefully.
Okay.
But I'll be looking here to answer the Google Talk here. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's the Saturday special. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon time, and it is now 11 o'clock. Here is Fox News, and we'll be back in about 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Iran's opposition leader not quieting down. He wants the presidential election there annulled. Meantime, demonstrations in Iran were met with tear gas.
People did defy the orders of the supreme leader and the police, and they went out today and protested. The numbers weren't great. We have different reports of how many and what happened. Tear gas, water cannons, people being beat up. I think what will be interesting is what happens tomorrow and in the days after, because if the government represses these demonstrations and people still do have the will to go out and vent their frustrations, they may have to think of other ways of doing that.
At least one person has been killed. Dozens of others, Iranians, reported to be injured by police. President Obama has said he's very concerned about what's happening in Iran, but Representative Pete Hoekstra, a Republican from Michigan, says he's looking for more.
He can now, with this newfound respect that they're claiming for America, this is the opportunity now for him to come out and make a strong statement on behalf of the people of Iran.
Hoekstra speaking to Fox News today. At least 55 are dead after a bombing in Iraq. It happened near a Shiite mosque in Kirkuk. Officials say a truck loaded with explosives hit as worshippers were leaving after afternoon prayers. At least 8 homes were leveled in that explosion, and we are getting reports that at least 200 other people were hurt. The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that Apple CEO Steve Jobs underwent a liver transplant 2 months ago. Jobs has been on medical leave since January. The reason hasn't been revealed, but the 54-year-old did say in the summer of 2004 that he had been treated for pancreatic cancer. Apple at this point refusing comment. Experts have said that kind of cancer can spread. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions, and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman. Only on the Fox Business Network. Work.
In the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard. TheFoxNation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join TheFoxNation.com now.
Seems like everyone on Capitol Hill is arguing about health care reform.
The health care push under President Obama is in real jeopardy now. Democrats are also raising concerns about Mr. Obama's campaign to revamp the health care system. Florida Democrat Bill Nelson says health care reform is on life support due to rising concerns about taxpayer costs. Meanwhile, Republicans in Washington are complaining about being cut out of the process altogether. In the House, Tennessee Democrat Jim Cooper concedes fellow Democrats are, quote, explicitly told not to work with Republicans.
Fox's Julie Kurtz reporting. Republicans talked health care reform in their weekly radio address, specifically how expensive the president's plan would be.
Expecting a government-run system to help the economy is like praying for rain in the middle of a flood. The thing you're asking for is the last thing you need. And so far, that's pretty much been the message of every independent analysis who's looked at the Democratic plans for health care.
Senator Mitch McConnell speaking for the Republicans. President Obama used his weekly address to talk about his desire to create a consumer financial protection agency.
Some argue that these changes and the many others we've called for go too far. I welcome a debate about how we can make sure our regulations work for businesses and consumers.
The president said he would not tolerate lobbyists getting in the way of legislation. Federal investigators en route to the scene of last night's fatal freight train derailment near Rockford, Illinois. Fire officials say tank cars loaded with flammable ethanol slid off those tracks and exploded in flames. One person in a nearby vehicle waiting for the train to go by was killed. Three others were severely burned. The Red Cross is setting up shelters for the hundreds of people who had to be evacuated because of the potentially toxic fumes. Thousands in the Midwest still without power a day after some nasty storms especially hard hit northern Illinois and Michigan. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Coming up next, hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ. But before we get to that, we've got your weather as well as a traffic update. We're going to start off with your weather forecast for today, which calls for areas of low clouds and fog in the morning. It's going to remain mostly cloudy throughout the day. Highs will reach the upper 50s, possibly the mid-60s. West winds will be increasing throughout the afternoon until they finally reach 15 to 25 miles per hour in the west direction. Tonight's forecast calls for areas of low clouds and fog with lows in the mid-50s. And your boater's forecast for today calls for wind waves 3 to 5 feet and a northwest swell 4 to 7 feet every 9 seconds. There's also a small craft advisory, which will remain in effect throughout early this evening. Outside KSCO Studios, it's 59 degrees. Let's see, we have one traffic incident to let you know about. Rio Del Mar Boulevard at Clubhouse Drive, a traffic collision with no injuries called in at 10:15. Over on the other side of the hill, things looking pretty good. We do know that traffic is moving slowly out there. That's on Highway 1, so plan on spending an extra couple minutes on your trip to Santa Cruz. 475-1080 for your traffic tips. Right now, we're going to take you to hour number two of the Saturday special.
Oh, hi, Dave. Let's take us all to hour number two of the Saturday special, as you said.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but...
Okay, we had an interesting hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. We got a pretty good hour number two coming up, and we're going to open the phone line, so be prepared.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
But before we do that, let's listen to the latest K's commentary.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Gerald Warner in the British Telegraph recently printed a hard-hitting commentary, and boy, am I glad that the world is waking up. It's called, Why Does President Obama Hate America So Badly? If Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and the rest of the Looney Tunes Brigade want to kick America to death, they'd better move in quickly and grab a piece of the action before Barack Obama finishes the job himself. Never in the history of the United States has a president worked so actively against the interests of his own people, not even Jimmy Carter. Obama's problem is that he doesn't know who the enemy is. To him, the enemy doesn't squat in caves, clutching automatic weapons and reciting the most militant verses from the Quran. Instead, it sits around at tea parties in Kentucky, quoting from the U.S. Constitution. Obama is not at war with terrorists, but with his Republican fellow citizens. He has never abandoned the campaign trail. That's why he opened Pandora's box by publishing the Justice Department's legal opinions on waterboarding and other hardline interrogation techniques. He cynically subordinated the national interest to his partisan desire to embarrass the Republicans. Then he had to rush to Langley, Virginia, to try to reassure a demoralized CIA that had just discovered the President of the United States was an even more formidable foe than Al-Qaeda. Don't be discouraged by what happened the last few weeks, he told intelligence officers. Is he kidding? Thanks to him, Al-Qaeda knows the private interrogation techniques available to the U.S. intelligence agencies and can train its operatives to withstand them. So, next time a senior Al-Qaeda hood is captured, all the CIA can do is ask him nicely if he would care to reveal when a major population center is due to be hit by a terrorist spectacular, or which American city is about to be irradiated by a dirty bomb. Your view of this situation will be dictated by one simple criterion: whether or not you watched the people jumping from the Twin Towers. President Obama's recent world tour, cozying up to all the bad guys, excited the ambitions of America's enemies. Here they realized is a sucker they can really take to the cleaners. His only enemies are fellow Americans. Which prompts the question, why does President Obama hate America so much? For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
What'd you think of that, Frau Ogle? What'd you think about that, Mr. Logic? What'd you think about that?
Well, I wanted to hear what Mr. Logic had to say. I felt I already overstayed here almost my welcome. I couldn't agree more. That's what I alluded to earlier. He is a misguided idealist, maybe very ambitious, or maybe his wife is pushing him, but he doesn't really have the grasp of international law or even common decency, I feel. He is well-meaning, I hope. My hubby doesn't think so. He thinks he's totally wrong. But I like always to see both sides. But I think we are in a very, very dangerous way with an amateur in world problems, and especially that he has made already trips to Iran, to Egypt, and all. I totally agree with Mrs. Rowling that this gives, hopefully, unfulfilled hope and ambition to our enemies. I mean, this is the time we all have to pull together and be one nation and not babble on spending trillions of dollars on weird experiments, because a weakened economy will weaken us too. And I think if Obama gets everything done what he wants to accomplish, we're going to be in 5 years also a third world country. And maybe the Chinese will finally get sick and tired of us and pull in the enormous debts we owe them, and then we are really in deep doo-doo. I think very few Americans realize how much we have borrowed from other countries. We're always thinking we are the greatest, freest, richest country in the world. But it is, again, like Germany in 1923, now very much a paper wealth. So I am very unhappy. I still say he's probably a nice person, but totally misguided. That's how I feel about Mr. Obama.
Okay. Mr. Logic.
Well, I agree also. I think we're kind of heading towards bad times here, which brings up this idea, you know, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist at all, but do you hear these stories about 2012 being the last date of recorded history in the future? As we look at Obama and the world as it's going on right now, one has to almost think that maybe there's something to those stories about the end of the Aztec calendar or whatever. If we do manage to make it through the Obama administration, I think we're going to end up, the only good thing I can see on the horizon is that it'll probably produce a much stronger Republican Party.
Okay. I think it's time to open the phone lines to the entire KSCO listening audience. It's 479-1080 is the phone number if you want to call and participate in this program on AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special with special guests Frau Ogle and Mr. Logic. If you listen to KSCO for many years, both of these personalities will be familiar to you, and we are very pleased to welcome them back to KSCO. I don't know where the years went, or how it just went by. They just went, exactly.
Jet
and so we really want to fill up the phone lines here, because we've done a lot of talking here. Now we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
479-1080, or if you would prefer to participate through email, send me an email, mz@ksco.com. I've got it open, and I should be able to read any email that comes our way here. So let's see who our first caller will be. Well, it looks like we have Brookdale Mike. Hello, Brookdale Mike. You're on the radio on KSCO.
Yes, and KSCO is my favorite radio station.
Well, this is good. Thank you. This is great.
Hey, Mike, it was really good to meet you.
Now I know what you look like at the from
Disney. And you are such a handsome man.
There must be some mistake.
And your mom is a total fox on fox. She is a fox on fox radio, let me tell you. She is a good-looking lady. And I had so much fun, I can't tell you.
You're very kind. What Brookdale Mike is talking about is the Friday afternoon. Was it Friday afternoon?
That was so much fun.
Yeah,
that was
Think so Local First at the
yeah, it was, yes.
At the consignment store on Main Street in Watsonville in the Nob Hill Shopping Center. So it was really interesting to be able to see what people look like. It's just as interesting for us to see what callers look like than for the callers to see what we look like. And, Mike, I think you're being very, very kind to say that someone that has a great face for radio is actually handsome.
You know what? And not only that, Mike, you are the absolute best talk show host I've ever heard in my life. I told you that day, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want to keep you on
for the rest of the program here.
You have not even reached your potential yet.
Nobody ever compliments me, so this is great, Brookdale Mike.
No, I mean you can start from nothing and build it to greatness. I mean, right. You have that ability.
Okay, back to Obama.
Yeah.
I do love Obama, okay? I did vote for the guy.
Are you sorry you did, or are you happy you did?
No, I'm very, very happy with the way he's doing.
Why are you happy?
I told you that I think Kay is a beautiful lady, all right?
Yeah.
She looks, and I like her sense of humor.
What about Obama?
I like her sense of humor, but I totally disagree with her politically. And it's okay.
That's good. That's what makes America great.
Well, Rochelle has a right to disagree politically as long as he keeps complimenting Kay and me.
And Charlie gave me a ride home.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, well, look, Brookdale, Mike, we appreciate it. If we could get you to get a little more specific about what you like about what our president is doing, that would be great. Otherwise, we've got to move on. But do appreciate your time.
I will get more specific.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think you should dump way more money into the money markets. And I think, about five times what he's done. I'm talking about demand-side economics here. John Maynard Keynes, as opposed to Milton Friedman's, style of supply-side economics.
Uh-huh.
But I think he should just really fucking flood the money into the market.
Oy.
And just get us out of this hole. And then the market will take over and it will correct itself.
Okay. Well, thank you for bringing that perspective to KSU. I appreciate it. You take care. That was Brookdale, Mike. Here's Craig in Campbell. Hey, Craig.
Yeah, hey, Michael. How you doing?
What a pleasant surprise. Haven't heard from you in a long time, but I hear you on the radio every once in a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
your station.
KSCO
rule.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't wax politics much. I don't really like it that much. By the way, I just fixed my wheelbarrow the other day, so I'm ready to go with this 1923.
All right.
Be the first one on my block there.
So I assume you disagree with Brookdale Mike, right, about Obama?
Well, I don't. The guy sounded like he'd been drinking or something. I don't know. But I don't know what's wrong with people like that.
Well, Mike is not alone. I mean, there are a lot of people who think that Obama should do a lot more of what he's been doing.
Well, yeah, they're already on
government. Who are not drinking, and I don't think Mike is drinking either. I just think that...
They think he is a messiah. That's a terrible thing, just
people,
like with Hitler.
They're on government assistance, a lot of these people. Yeah, he's the messiah, all right.
And that's always dangerous when you mix up a politician and thinking he's a guardian angel who will promise you paradise. the Muslims
devil.
Who want to have 97 virgins or whatever in the afterlife, that's not so different from saying, Obama, oh my God, he smiled at me. Mass hysterics, I've lived through it in Germany. I'm totally against it. I think calm, cool, and collected, and pragmatic, and don't spend more than what you have. That's my theory.
Yeah, the devil in the garden and out there in the desert, he offered everything to Adam and Eve, right? And Jesus out in the desert. But, hey, I'm just glad I wasn't born. Obama wasn't around.
Yes.
One of my main points is that nobody talks on secular radio. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know much about politics, really.
Uh-huh.
But I knew there was something wrong with this guy because he's willing to kill unborn babies. No, even after they're born, what do they call it? Partial birth abortion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I called Roy Masters. Remember, I asked him about that. He said, "Well, I had a mafia Don friend. He saw the light, so he's hoping Obama is like that." But I mean, there's something really wrong with this guy. If you could do that, you're capable of anything. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where should I go from here? I don't know, but. Your mom's commentary, your mom's, really smart. She's seen a lot. And the lady, German lady here on your program,
Frau Ogle, our guest.
Miss Ogle.
And don't forget Mr. Logic also.
Mr.
Logic is starting to see the light, I think, too.
What? See what light?
The light that goes the speed of light, let's say. Trying to be kind of cute here.
He's succeeding.
Yeah, I mean, if you're so much against, this guy talks so much, he says just the opposite. he does the opposite of what he says. He's real sneaky. I mean, he's just a total fraud and a liar. Anytime I hear him come on the news, I figure he's just going to do something else, to do just the opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, why get up there and say you're going to do this when he knows most people are going to get on him? He's just going to, get up there and act like he's kind of like a normal person, mm-hmm. and sound normal. But then he'll do just the opposite. I mean, that's what
he's getting. He's getting an awful lot of things done that many mm-hmm. people feel are highly damaging to this country. Very, very fast in record time. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I was afraid of that because I kept thinking mm-hmm. about...
The honeymoon is over.
No, I kept... Really, I don't call the talk shows on politics. I kept thinking, this guy's...
Okay, now listen, Craig.
Uh-huh.
Brookdale Mike was on the phone, and I was trying to get some information out of him about why he likes Obama, some specific information, and I failed. I just mm-hmm. couldn't do it. So we moved on to your phone call. I want to put your feet to the fire. I happen to agree with your point of view more than Brookdale Mike, though I really like Brookdale Mike, and I appreciate anybody mm-hmm. who listens to the radio station and calls it and so forth and participates in our programs and says nice things about the station.
Yeah, he's probably a
But nice I want guy. You to get really specific. I want you to get really specific about Obama right now and what you don't like about him and what scares the hell out of you.
Well, I just told you and all this.
Yeah.
You said every time he talks, he sounds nice, but then he does something. Well, what's an example of the somethings that he's done?
Well, I heard him say the other day, I want to get out of the GM, the auto business, and this. I've got more important things to do. That's a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to take over other things. I mean, there's people out there who can articulate all this stuff better. I just listen.
Okay.
Listen to the news casually. I think, everything what's actually happening in reality is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
He's printing money. I mean, you can't believe this guy is that dumb. Where does his loyalties really lie? It seems like...
Well, in getting and staying elected, mm-hmm. which is what all the politicians do. It doesn't... To hell with bankrupting the country.
Yeah.
So what if you bankrupt the country as long as you can get reelected? Isn't that the name of the game? Hopefully there will still be a country, to reelect you.
And then he's
after
got
all the damage is done.
His little private... kind of quasi army here called Acorn.
I heard something on the news when I was coming in. I didn't think I'd make it to the beginning of the program, but miraculously I did. There was some terrible traffic coming in today, but during the news, I almost drove off the road when I heard that there are a number of healthcare plans that are being advanced. One of which would require that the employers provide and pay for health insurance for the employees, and if they don't, they're going to get fined 20% of their payroll.
That'll
or something
be
like
the
that.
Death of middle class of all the small businesses.
It didn't say which idiot advanced that mm-hmm. Proposal, but I think we'll find out more about
it
that
sounds
later.
Like Barney Frank, somebody like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I'll give someone. Like to hear other people talk.
Okay, we definitely want to encourage particularly Obama supporters to call in, and we will be. I promise, I will be nice. And
yeah, I'd like to hear them. Just Michael, one more thing.
Yeah,
I want to hear them justify Obama. Printing all this funny money like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Somebody, please, one of the uh-huh. Obama messiah lovers. by the way, Michael Savage calls the. The media now, microcephalics. I mean, that's like the best name I've ever heard to describe the media. Yeah, that's their messiah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's their messiah, Obama. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, but I'd like to hear one of the Obama supporters again explain to me, printing of money, and that's all.
Okay, thank you, Craig. I appreciate it. 479-1080, we have wide open lines except for Richard and Watsonville. Why does it say 033 in Watsonville? And then in parentheses, Richard.
Because he's number 33 in the club.
Okay. Yeah, Richard. So Richard answered a question, a Thinkers Club question, correctly, or co-hosted a program. Is that the way you got to be in the Thinkers Club? It's all coming back to me now. Is that right, Mr. Logic?
Well, yeah, generally you had to, initially when Richard joined, you had to answer a question. There was no co-hosting option. And he was one of the first, well, number 33 says he was one of the first members. We had, I don't know how many hundreds of members we finally ended up with, but Richard was back there in the beginning.
Okay, we're going to bring him on right now. I think you're there, aren't you, Richard?
Yes, Michael, how are you?
We're pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm sorry I missed you the other day.
Yeah. Well, here you are right now, and tell us about what you think of Obama.
I think he's too fast for the media. I think he is so fast. He's having so many press conferences. He's meeting with the press. He's making this speech. He's making this speech and that speech.
Oh,
and he is so fast that it's very hard to for anybody to. I think it's time for him to take a vacation. But because the media cannot keep up with this man.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not start anything. George Bush started this stimulus package. I mean,
that's true.
The first time I heard it was out of George Bush. And the first person that's in Fraulein Ugel's generation that I ever knew of that was for Obama was when you had Jeff Dunn on, his Aunt Gilda. Remember, he called her the night of the primaries or something, and she was so happy that Obama won. But yet...
Not Aunt Gilda. Aunt Gilda passed away.
Right, but he called her during the primaries when he got the nomination to go to the... The night before she died, I believe. You have to call
and ask
about that.
No. He got the nomination in July of 08, and Aunt Gilda died in January of 08.
Right.
So that may be a different aunt. It's possible, but not definitely not Aunt
Gilda. I think it was the primaries, man.
All right.
Whatever. I'm not really too sure, but I remember that she seemed to be the only one that was behind Obama.
Right.
And Fraulein Ugel here talks about her idol on TV being Charlie Rose. My idols on TV were Joe Pine and a guy named Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, yes. I remember them.
My TV's pretty idle now.
Right.
You know, but she's talking, get involved. It's almost like what Mrs. Worling was talking about when she first came on with her commentary when Obama was first elected as president. She said, don't blow it. Three words.
Yeah.
Whereas Fraulein Ugel says, get involved. I mean, pretty simple words that mean more than pretty much anything they've said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, I'd just like to know the names of her two friends that were communists that she had to leave behind when she got on the train, and does she ever stay in touch with them?
You know what? That's funny that you say that. Ursula Kessler is now as ever my very best friend, and we are subsidizing kind of the postal office because for the 55 years since I came to this country, we write each other once a week. And she was not quite 4, and I had just turned 5 when we met at our parents' summer home in the Mark Brandenburg of Concerto fame. And I don't hold it against her. I mean, she's 1.5 years younger than me, so she was 12 when the war ended. And it was, of course, her father who was a gung-ho Nazi. And after the war, two Polish lieutenants came up. They got lost in the forest, and they interrupted his chess game, and he was very arrogant. He was a dentist. My dad was a lawyer.
Lawyers and dentists tend to be quite arrogant.
My father always stayed a simple farm boy in spite of his brain. But my point is, they were so enraged that he said, please, the war is over. You're interrupting my chess game. And they took him along, and they shot him to death. And then, yes. And poor Mrs. Kreft, the mother with two little boys, and my friend Ursula, didn't know for 3 months what happened to her husband. And then a farmer came and said, I finally found you. I looked for your Berlin address first and told them that he watched out of his farmhouse how they blindfolded him and walked him up a hill and shot him in the back. And then, are you ready? They threw him in the farmer's pigsty. And that was 3 months after the war. That was in July 45. And so how can I not feel bad and love that lovely lady who was much too young to have any political things. And her mother actually had to make now a living, and she became the secretary of Mr. Clay, who was high command of Berlin. So she was actually much fonder of America than I ever was. So that happened, and my the other friend is quite elderly now, Gisela, but she became a lady physician in the East Zone. She was an East German.
But you still stay in touch.
And so, yes, and both of them have visited me in America. So we are, you know, I'm like a barnacle. Once you're my friend, that's it. Or like crabgrass.
Hey, Richard, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank
you know something, Mike?
Yeah.
I'd almost like to have Fraulein Ugo here do a commentary.
Oh, yeah.
She loves to talk, doesn't she?
Yeah.
No. I'll see you.
Okay. Well, no. Okay, Richard in Watsonville. Here comes Rick in Scotts Valley. Then we have Rory in Watsonville. Then we have Saint in Hollister. And then I don't know who we have because there are no more callers. I want more callers. 479-1080.
Rick in Scotts Valley. We intimidated them.
Yeah. Rick in Scotts Valley, you're on.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, Rick. How are you doing today?
Good. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I decided that I was going to quit talking about Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives.
Yeah, we need to do that because that's old hat. That's a paradigm that I think people are beginning to realize that they're both the same, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
But, so then I adopted two words. There's two types of people in America. There's politicians and citizens.
Aha, uh-huh, that's very good. That's clever.
So, also, I hear, you know, Rush says follow the money. So as I start researching and doing all that, follow the money, why would people do what they do? It's always for the money. And then you can say, again, like MZ said about the politicians wanting to keep the job, that's the priority. But back, I don't know if you folks know about the Michigan history books, the school books in that state had been rewritten back in 2003. And they demonstrate Obama's 2002 DNC speech.
Hmm.
And they're in the history books in Michigan. And isn't it quite a coincidence that they are almost all Sharia law in most of the communities? It's impacting that state incredibly.
Oh, God.
And then another a fellow named Jack Wheeler from the Reagan years has a website called To the Point News. And through that, I've been getting some little links to go to, and I found a document that was written in 1984, and it was called the INSA, it's the International Society of Islamic Americans. It's a 20-year-old document. It's an exhibit of the Homeland Security. It's got the stamp on it and everything. I have the PDF if anybody wants to look at it.
Uh-huh.
I worked for a man who was Lebanese, and when I took him the document, he read the Arabic off of the document to confirm the translation into English that it was a true document.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman who runs this was the prayer opener at the DNC this year. The Obama invited her in to do the opening prayer 2 days before the DNC. It was a breakfast. But she is the head of this Islamic organization who is tied to the Brotherhood. It is similar to what Marx wrote when he, you know, his dad changes his name from Marx to from Markowitz to Marx because he couldn't get any work because he was a Jew.
Uh-huh.
So his father forsakes his own name, and Marx goes off on a tirade to find a utopia by writing the ten planks, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this thing is the same thing. It tells the Muslim people of America how to infiltrate the schools. 39 pages long. It's a border trade business plan, and it was in 1987 when they found it. It was written in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So our tolerance and our giving hearts is our demise. Because we continue.
One can be too good natured, too forgiving, too tolerant.
Unbelievable. And so with all of that, Bush won. Bush 2, once they fall into that, they all become one-worlders. And the Aryan attitude of a politician, once he gets that power, as when I think it's Winston Churchill or another man said, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't believe that Bush was a one-worlder, but he also is I think he's very vindictive. I think his latter four was a payback to the unforgiving Americans for what he did for us in the first four. I think some of his stuff was premeditated, in my heart, I think some of his stuff was premeditated to say, okay, America, you want it? Slap in the face. And then that's what he's given us with him starting the government takeover. Maybe George W. has become a one-worlder. It is so frightening to see what's happening.
What are you talking about, maybe he has become? He and his dad have been proud card-carrying one-worlders forever.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about, have become?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, see, that's how much people watch, and I didn't watch enough. I just put my faith in them as a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got my Republican thing in the mail. I circled Michael Steele's name. I said, call me. Give him my cell number, and I say, call me or drop me from the rolls. And if I don't get a Michael Steele call, I'm not going to give any more to the Republican Party. And then I redlined the document that they're asking some of the stupidest questions in the world of it just made me sick. So I redlined it, I PDF'd it, and I sent it back in the mail.
Good for you.
All the money. All the way down, if you can't give anything, at least give us $12 so we can process your census, your Republican census, which makes no sense at all. And so now I think there is a great awakening from people like you and MC and some of the people on KSEO, and maybe we'll have some effect on Corsi, I don't know. But
I don't think so.
About?
David is, he's a sweet guy, but he just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he is totally intolerant. If someone calls in with a question that he thinks smacks of conspiracy, he hangs up on them.
Right, and then the one major thing, and then I'm done. I'll let the next caller on here, is that the fighting thing that you see at the bottom of the screen sometimes ticker some, and Fox won't even report it all. They're frightened. But you hear these little glitches of things on those radio shows and on the television. When he went to Mexico and down south with all the boys that tell, each other that Obama's further left than they are, but when he does that, he allows a treaty to become, start to roll in. And I didn't realize this, but if we sign a treaty with somebody, it becomes part of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that, what he's doing down below in Mexico is his highway to gun control. Because if he can get the treaty with them, then it becomes part of our Constitution. He can throw it right back.
I don't know where you heard that, but I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that when you sign a treaty, it becomes part of our Constitution.
Well,
where did you hear that, Rick?
Because it's the treaty that we signed with the world about. Hang on a second.
I mean, I'm sure it's something that's supposed to be binding.
Absolutely.
But it ain't part of the Constitution.
Don't touch the Constitution. You're putting out wrong information, Rick.
I love you, but you're putting out wrong information.
Okay, go back to the treaty that we signed about with the United Nations that we signed about torture.
Okay.
And then check that out. If that now becomes
you can't
part of
change
our-
a constitution without a constitutional convention,
yeah.
or without all of the people voting for a constitutional amendment. Like Prop 13 was voted on by the state of California electorate back in 1978, that they're trying, that a lot of people are trying to get rid of now.
Yeah.
Which I God hope that doesn't happen.
Because if that does happen,
you're going to be paying. When a dinner costs $10, you're going to pay that same $10 dinner is going to cost you $20 in taxes. You know,
right.
if that happens, although Prop 13 has to do with property taxes,
or when you buy a gun.
Yeah.
Now he's already started.
Okay,
saying
but please don't say that. Please don't try to put it. This is what makes people say that talk radio is full of inaccuracies, and it tends to get people all whipped up with untruths. I don't believe that you maliciously said that, no. that the Constitution, that it becomes part of the Constitution because we sign a treaty. But I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Okay.
If we sign a treaty, aren't we obligated to abide by that treaty?
Yeah, that has nothing to do with changing our Constitution. It doesn't become part of our Constitution.
They're two separate things.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I appreciate your call to the Saturday special.
I stand correct.
Okay. Well... Okay, I don't know for positive, but I'm willing to go out there, to put myself out there and say there ain't no way to change a constitution of a country or a state without
America.
It being represented as such. Rick, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Very nice.
Rory in Watsonville, quickly on Obama. Now all of a sudden, we got a million phone calls. We want to get to all of them.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Thank you. Very nice. Interesting.
Yeah, I love listening to Frau Ogle or Aunt Ogle. And I think that's why you didn't get a lot of calls in the beginning. People are just enraptured.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that's true. But now is the call time. So what do you have to say, Rory?
Well, I think what your aunt has to say is germane to what we see today, because we see the threat of a totalitarian power trying to take over in many parts of the world. And I think Hitler and the Nazis are just a taste. And it can happen here, because we have many parallels. And I know you've discussed this before.
Stalin was worse.
Stalin was worse, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And lived longer.
Yeah.
63 years, communist regime was. And, by the way, I don't think that he is really a Democrat. I think, why don't we call... by the right name, we are trundling towards communism. Paper money, everybody has to be insured, everybody has to be looked after Father State, a benevolent tyranny. The government gets more and more control, more and more power. What does it remind you of? I think of Mussolini.
Yep,
and Idi Amin and Hitler and the worst bully of them all, Stalin. And yet we are always talking about benevolent socialism. My father was a benevolent socialist. He would have turned in his grave if he would think what supposedly half of us, the Republican America, is doing. So I enrage my Democratic friends by saying, why don't you call it what it is? Communism is dead and gone in Russia and is ever more lively in America. And then people feel like killing me.
Well,
what did you say, Bob? Mr. Logic.
Well, remember Khrushchev years ago when we pounded a shoe and then the UN, we will bury you. It looks like maybe his prediction is coming true.
Yeah, and it's bipartisan treason. I forget who coined that term, but there's sellouts in both parties that are not, loyal to our Constitution.
Yes.
And our Constitution is a set of laws that keep, or checks and balances, that's based on the good understanding of human nature, that we need checks and balances, we need accountability. And once we lose that, then it's hard to get it back.
Yeah.
The Constitution also, with regards to a Muslim threat from within, the Constitution is not a suicide pact.
We have
freedoms, but it's not so that enemies can come here and set up shop and cause trouble. It's not a suicide pact.
Well, they do want to change the Constitution, I believe but I'm not saying treaties don't do that. Anyhow, thanks very much for calling, Rory. We appreciate it. Here's Furry in Scotts Valley. Is that you, Furry, or is it Fiery?
Siri.
Oh, with an S.
Yes.
Oh, it came out as Fiery in Scotts Valley. Anyhow, welcome to the Saturday special. Good to hear from you.
Hi. I have a question. Due to a situation I've been going through for good 20 years, I have several security cameras outside, did have several security cameras outside. And my question is, also had no trespassing signs out, which were torn down by the very people that this situation is about.
Because they don't want to be told that they can't trespass.
Right. But I also have no trespassing signs that on the stairs leading up to my front door in two places.
Okay.
As well as no solicitor, which have been violated several times. But anyway, a guy from the city of Scotts Valley came out past both no trespassing signs. I answered the door. I was surprised and shut it immediately. And then I opened it, and he had quite an attitude. But in any case, he told me that I was in violation. So I asked him what violation, and it was the electrical cords. Now, my question is, they sell indoor-outdoor cameras. The end result of it is, I also told him immediately that if he had something he wanted to talk to the owner of the house about, he should write a letter. He was saying, that will work for me, with quite an attitude. So anyway, he left, and he said he would, I have on digital video, he said he would send a letter, which I have not received yet.
You're the owner?
No.
Are you the owner?
No, my mother is the owner.
Okay.
In any case, my basic question is, we're short on time, but I'm interested in knowing if these indoor-outdoor cameras that are sold, if it's legal to have them outside. I haven't looked at all the tapes yet. I saved all the videotapes that I do have. And he walked around the property, and I saw him looking up at the cords that I had. I protected everything with plastic if it needed to be protected. For example, I had some indoor cameras outside that I put in plastic, and I...
Siri, you're taking way too long here. Just ask me a real quick question, and it's probably off the subject, but
it's illegal.
I will be polite. I'll be polite and try to answer your question, if we can, okay?
Okay,
Is it legal
for
indoor,
a planning...
Indoor-outdoor cameras to be outside.
Well, I, what kind of a question is that, of course? I mean, why
would it be... okay, so now I have to... I would love to go on the air and talk about what I've been through. I have hundreds of tapes of evidence involving you wouldn't believe who. But in any case...
Do you believe that someone from the government has done something incorrect or illegal against you?
I have evidence.
Okay. Send me an email.
I do not have a computer. I would... I know we're short on time.
You can't function without a computer. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm just tired of
you. How about speaking up at the city council?
Yeah, that's fine.
I find that very good, because that is taped,
and they have
to let you speak at the city council.
I have no patience for people without computers. I'm just sorry. Okay. Thank you, Siri. I appreciate your call.
But go to the city council and air your grievance there. Really, that works for me.
How can anybody function? Computers are free now. They don't even cost anything. You can get them for free. How in the world can a human function who can speak English and who can read without a computer? I mean, am I being insensitive, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, you are.
I am?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just...
There are quite a few
send an email.
A lot of people over 60 really hate it, including Mr. Letterman and most of the talk show hosts. They call themselves computer illiterate.
Okay.
And they brag about it.
All right, Saint and Hollister, you're on the air on KSCO.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Hey there. It's still the morning, but it's okay. I have no patience for people without... I know I'm a snob. I just don't understand it. I don't think there should be any libraries either, because computers have taken over everything now. I don't think there should be a post office anymore, because it's too friggin' expensive when everything is free with email. I don't understand it.
I think everybody should have a radio. Anybody who doesn't have a radio, call in and tell us why you're not listening to the show.
Excellent.
Okay, good.
Witty and excellent.
All right, go ahead, Saint.
Oh, okay, Michael. The first word is fascism, and that's where I see us heading. And two of the worst out of the four that have come about in my lifetime were done very legally without a violent revolution. Now, if you want to repeat history, you don't know it. I'm sorry, most of our population is ignorant of history in general.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, if you look at fascism, Hitler, Mussolini, the two most successful, came into power legally. Now we have 17 czars, and in Germany that would have been called Reichsmarschall. They report to nobody except the Führer, or in this case, the president. And a lot of his programs that he's putting forward, not popular with the people, but they're very, you know, they're being enforced. He's right there. And they're enforcing them on us with people that are responsible to nobody except him, which is, you know, this is fascism. He's taking over industry. That's mm-hmm. fascism. You take over the means of production. You take over the banking so that everybody feels good about the leader and, oh, those are those bad people, but those are him. And he already has his brown shirts or black shirts, whichever one you want to say, and that's Acorn. And we're paying for it.
Yeah.
The government is paying for it.
What can we do about it? What should be done about it, St. and Hollister?
Yeah.
I want some solutions here.
Well, our solution is kick Congress out. Kick them all out. Republican or Democrat, it doesn't make any difference. Put conservative constitutionalists in there who believe in the Constitution and that
hooray.
Okay, conservative. I like that.
Well, I worship the Constitution. Anybody who nibbles at it is my enemy. I mean,
yeah.
It's that simple.
Okay, St. and Hollister, well, I want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special.
Thank you.
We have Bob in Santa Cruz coming up next. That's here, and then Mark in San Jose. Bob, you're on the air on KSCO.
All right. I'm out on the roadside right now taking care of removing graffiti.
Oh, you're a good man.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I want to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. But I just wanted to, you know, I'm so intrigued with what was going on right during the end of the war and during the war. I'm wondering if you and your aunt would consider maybe taking a week and going on the air and just to tell us the stories that were going on there. You know, I mean, it's so wonderful to hear you, and you're so articulate and intelligent and just such a great storyteller. I'm just totally intrigued with that time in history. So,
well, I'll write you a few pages of it.
Wait a minute. Maybe what we can do without traffic, because both of us hate traffic that makes us late to the... Maybe we could just use technology. I know you have a computer.
Of course. Several ones. Five, unfortunately.
But you don't... What you're saying is you'd rather not... You do email.
Oh, yeah.
If you do email, then you could do Google Talk, and you could be on with us like Mr. Logic is, right,
Mr.
Logic?
Yeah, but I don't want to bore people because was so long ago. But I recently gave a speech at... with posters and maps and all for the Elks Club in San Jose. And I was talking about that World War II from the other side. And I wrote two pages about it, and then I Xeroxed them and gave them away. Unfortunately, we had 146 guys there. And so I ran out. I made only 100, but I gladly would send you one free. It doesn't cost anything, but it's much better than my horrible accent. I'm much better in writing. I'm a spelling freak. I'm much better in writing and have written for a lot of different magazines. So I'd gladly you give them your things.
I think Frau Ogle needs her own podcast as well as broadcast.
No, but I really would like. I'm so delighted that somebody is still interested. What happened to Europe 60 years ago? I'm so grateful to you. I'd gladly send you the two pages which I did for the Elks Club.
Right.
But you have to, I have to say that you
send,
are
send
wrong.
Me an email, Bob.
Okay, I will.
Send me MZ at KSCO.
Exquisite.
Okay, thank you very much. Here's Mark in San Jose. You're on the Saturday special,
Mark. So
you know
who it was, right?
Mike,
he's going to send
morning.
Me. He's, yeah, hi there, Mark in San Jose.
First of all, I promise, I have a computer and I use it on a daily basis, and I have a radio, and it's tuned to KSCO.
You almost said the wrong call letters. I almost heard that, but that's okay.
There are no other call letters.
Okay, great.
I wanted to just take a few seconds to end the note, end the show on a positive note. As you know, Big Ben Gordy has been getting worked on. He had some surgery done on him at the VA.
I got an email. I guess that was from you. I wasn't sure what to make of it, so I didn't read it.
Well, I will be very blunt. I am sure a number of your listeners have heard Big Ben Gordy talking and said to themselves, "I would love to get a piece of that guy." And we have an opportunity for your listeners to do so. We will be auctioning off bits and parts of Gordy at our Thursday night meeting next week.
I want to make sure that everybody understands that Gordy is okay, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he hasn't passed on or anything.
No. He's doing very well. In fact, he quit smoking. He is up and running around. I wouldn't be surprised if he's walking around Santa Cruz right now. He's doing really well. His spirits are really good. But we want to welcome him back into the world of the very healthy, and I would encourage anyone who is interested in doing so to join us. Once again, this will be Thursday night next week, the 25th, 7 p.m., Harry's Hofbräu in San Jose, California. You can go to our website and get more information on it. That's www.gs2ac.com.
Okay.
And, Mike, if you show up, I will buy you the adult beverage of your choice.
Oh, adult beverages. What I like is a carbonated water with Rose's lime juice. That's all.
I will bet that they have that.
That'd be good. Okay, Mark, let's see what happens. Appreciate your call. You take care,
no worries.
Okay?
Thanks.
Bye-bye. You know what? We have some commercials. How many minutes of commercials with no promos, Dave?
We got 3.5 minutes.
Okay, you know what? I want to thank Frau Ogle for being here. Got to get you back on. We're going to have a wonderful, delicious, sumptuous lunch where we can really catch up afterwards. And want to thank you, Dave, for doing a fabulous job as you normally do. And I'm going to play, and I want to thank Bob. I want to thank Mr. Logic for being there.
Yes, what about Mr. Logic? I feel bad. We kind of preempted him.
Well, that's okay. I didn't have a whole lot to say anyway.
Oh, yes. You always have something brilliant to add. Come on now. No false modesty.
And anyhow, we know that we have the technology on our side now, so we could glue together some really interesting programs like the good old days without having to come over here.
I really would like to send it to that nice guy.
He will send me an email, and I will forward it to you. That'll be great. With his snail mail address, because I think that's what you want to do, right? So anyhow, that's it. I'm gonna do the that's all, folks. Someone said, will this show be archived? Asked if this show would be archived. The answer is yes. All KSCO Saturday specials are archived. All you have to do is go to SaturdaySpecial.com, with or without a www. Saturday Special, all one word, SaturdaySpecial.com. And the most recent Saturday special will start playing as soon as it gets put up. Now, we'll put this one up this afternoon sometime. So that's it. We will play the commercials right after the That's All, folks. So Fox News will just have to wait.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here are some commercials.
I'm Katya.
And I'm Alex.
And we are owner... Hi, I'm Katya.
And I'm Alex. And we are Nature Elements Landscape Design. Oh, and by the way, we have a radio show, too. It's called Viva Gardens.
Where we talk about everything outdoor living.
Yeah, in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about roses, succulents,
wildlife, gardens,
barbecue recipes,
and music.
Don't forget to tune in on KSEO AM 1080 every Sunday
from 9 to 10
for a full hour
of everything outdoors.
Viva Gardens.
President Obama has said that state and local governments should have some say over gun control and that he believes in a common sense approach to gun control. However, if you translate the president's intentions, one thing is certain. It's going to cost a whole lot more to buy guns and ammo in the future. So before that future arrives, head to the giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. You'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. Go early to the giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. It's going to cost a lot more to own handguns, rifles, and shotguns in the future, and the future is coming fast. So head to the giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and save big.
It's time to get down to business, and we've got the place to start. Hello, I'm Amy Ivey with Bay Federal Credit Union.
And I'm Tiffany Zachmeyer, also with Bay Federal. Tune in to KSCO each weekday during your morning and afternoon commute for Getting Down to Business, a program specifically designed for the local business owner.
You'll hear from experts like Teresa Tomei and her team at Central Coast Small Business Development Center, as well as from SCORE, Counselors to America's Small Business.
Learn how to attract and retain new customers, manage your cash flow, write a better business plan, get a loan, and other topics to help your business thrive.
And if you have a small business question, email it to info@ksco.com. That's info@ksco.com. Then listen for the answer on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's time to get down to business, and the best place to start is with SCORE, the SBDC, and KSCO every weekday morning and afternoon.
Brought to you as a public service by Bay Federal Credit Union,
making a real difference for you.
Bay Federal Credit Union.
Water is a basic need in our daily lives, but how often do you think about where your water comes from and what might be in it that you can't see, taste, or smell? If you wanted to know, would you be able to find out? If you had water delivered by All Pure Water of Santa Cruz, you can be confident that you are drinking pure water that is free of modern-day pollutants. Our water is cleansed the same way nature purifies water, through evaporation and condensation using our vapor-compressed steam distillers. Our water is tested every their strict purity requirements. We are so confident that our water is simply the purest, we want you to find out for yourself why people prefer our water. Call us at 831-479-1653. All Pure Water is a local, family-owned business right here in Santa Cruz, and we deliver water right to your home or office throughout the county. If you want to set up a regular water delivery schedule, just call All Pure Water at 831-479-1653.
Not spoiling for a fight. I'm ready for one.
The Republicans talked health care reform and how they don't like President Obama's plan for changing our health care system.
The total cost would be much higher, burying us in deeper and deeper debt. And yet Democrats still want to rush the process. When it comes to health care reform, the Democratic motto is clear. Rush and spend. Rush and spend.
Senator Mitch McConnell speaking for the Republicans this week. Did you know cows burp? Did you know it's bad for the environment? It's true.
Believe it or not, cows are the biggest contributors to global warming in the dairy business. And it all comes from their burping.